This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Beetlejuice, 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 Kaepernick, Kaepernick, Kaepernick.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. You can find the show 99.3 FM, 1510 AM, 1510.com. Search ESPN 1510 on the TuneIn app or go to Facebook. Go to ESPN Kansas City's Facebook page, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. We are live streaming the whole show. The audio quality is the exact same you would get through the app or whatever. So if you just want to hear it from your computer, go there. And if you have any comments about the show, you can leave them there. We'll check in on the comments every once in a while. You can share the show that way. If you think, hey, someone I know is going to want to hear about how Daniel Sorensen is Mormon, Alex Smith is probably not. Andy Reid is Mormon. Literally no evidence of John Dorsey being Mormon. If that seems like it would really, really wet somebody's whistle, well, you know, just share that. I just saw a friend of mine on Fox on TV in front of me because Channel 4 is out at Mid-America Nazarene's campus for the Patriots run thing today. It's exciting. I kind of want to watch it and see what they're saying about my now alma mater, but I can't do that because we're doing a radio show, which reminds me of the radio show topics we had for today. All right, it appears to be over now. Whew, made it. There are three seemingly independent decisions that were made over this weekend that all tie together in, I think, a really interesting way. Barry Odom at Mizzou fired as defensive coordinator. The Texans started Tom Savage and then put in Deshaun Watson at halftime. And Andrew Luck is out for week two already. Ruled out today. What do those three things connect with? Three bad football teams? Yeah, but that's not the one that counts. Those are all really bad instances of mismanagement. Knee-jerk mismanagement and bad evaluation. And if you want to guarantee that you are running a bad football team in a bad organization, that is how you do it. Barry Odom, defensive mastermind, fires his defensive coordinator after 2 weeks at Mizzou. They won week one, but the defense was terrible. Lost last week. Defense was better, but they lost. Drew Lock was bad last week. This last weekend, Saturday. The Texans trot out Tom Savage. And this is the most offensive one to me, I think, at this point. Bill O'Brien, noted quarterback genius, must have just been shocked to go out there on Sunday and find out, oh God, Tom Savage is Tom Savage. What? I'm blown away. I'm terrified. I'm shocked. I, for one, am shocked.
Constant wailing.
Why constant wailing?
Of sadness. Like people wailing.
Because Tom Savage.
Yeah.
Got it. But how shocked must have quarterback whisperer Bill O'Brien been to find out that Tom Savage is exactly who literally everyone on the face of the planet thought he was. It's absurd. You have a pretty good football team in Houston. A team that seems to be a quarterback away from being within contention. Within the larger realm of contention. And you roll out Tom Savage. And then are surprised enough by how bad Tom Savage is to bench him at halftime. as a head coach, and this eventually ties into Andy Reid and Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. You as a head coach had all of training camp. You had all of Deshaun Watson's college tape. You had all of Tom Savage's NFL career. You had all of that to figure out who you wanted to be your starting quarterback in week one. And for the Texans, they gave the keys to Tom Savage. He looked like Tom Savage. And then they took the keys back away from him at halftime in his first game as a starting quarterback. I'm not telling you that Tom Savage deserved to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. No, the thing is, he never did. So then you set up Deshaun Watson to fail. If you're going to go with Deshaun Watson, if you know as a head coach that there is a chance that you might end up pulling Tom Savage after one half of football and then giving the keys to Deshaun Watson, you never should have started Tom Savage. If Deshaun Watson at halftime was an option, Deshaun Watson starting the first game should have been an option. Deshaun Watson should have had this whole week to prepare. He should have had all of training camp to prepare for this first game, if that's on the table. For comparison, Alex Smith, critiquable, absolutely. Infinitely better than Tom Savage, absolutely. But if Alex Smith had gone out there on Thursday night and put up a Tom Savage first half, I would not have been calling for you to start Patrick Mahomes in the second half. Not in a million years. You want to put your quarterbacks in a position to succeed. And Bill O'Brien, either as stubborn as anyone in the sport, or as knee-jerky as anybody in the sport, or as dense as anybody in the sport, saw half of Tom Savage in a real-life game after having months to evaluate him, and then gave him the hook. What did Bill O'Brien want there? Here, this is my larger question. What's the goal? Truly, what was he trying to do? Did they want to do the Chiefs thing where they give the ball to another guy for a year? Have Deshaun Watson sit, learn the playbook, learn how to prepare as an NFL quarterback? That's what the Chiefs are doing. I'm okay with that. That is a plan. That is an actual plan. If Alex Smith gets hurt, Patrick Mahomes will be forced into action. That's also fine. But at least the Chiefs have a plan there. If that was the Texans' plan, then they should not have been letting Tom Savage be the guy that starts ahead of Deshaun Watson. No one on earth ever thought there was a chance of him being that guy. I'm going to say this name for the next two quarterback situations. You would have signed Colin Kaepernick if you had a spine and you wanted to have somebody for your rookie quarterback to sit behind. Colin Kaepernick can let your team be good enough. And I had somebody on Twitter say, like, who cares? I didn't hear anybody calling out for Tim Tebow whenever he was run out of the league. Who cares? I care because, again, it is fundamentally, intellectually dishonest for you to tell me that Scott Tolzien and Blake Bortles and Tom Savage are starting NFL games in week one and Colin Kaepernick doesn't deserve to be on a team. Tim Tebow was an absolute outside fringe quarterback. He won a playoff game, but that's it. Colin Kaepernick was the future. Colin Kaepernick looked like the future for a while and then maintained his status as a pretty good quarterback.
I seem to remember Joss calling him like the potentially greatest
Joss.
Quarterback ever.
Yes, I was thinking it was Herm.
No, it was Joss.
It was Joss.
If I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's got the best talent out of any quarterback ever he'd seen or something like that.
Yes,
let's
Ron
see if
Jaworski.
I can find that headline real quick.
You'll find it. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was Ron Jaworski that said that he could be the best quarterback of all time. Nobody said that about Tim Tebow. Get out of here. Kaepernick did it in the NFL. He did more in the NFL than Tom Savage or Scott Tolzien or Blake Bortles have ever done. Get out of here with that argument. I care because I like the idea, at least. I at least like the idea that the NFL is a meritocracy that's built on guys getting jobs based off of their qualifications for it. And also, I like the idea that someone just taking up a social cause is not a reason for them to be run out of the league. J.J. Watt is having all like the Hurricane Harvey relief, which is fantastic. Everyone thinks it's fantastic. He's not sticking to sports. He's doing something for a cause he believes in, which is helping hurricane victims in his home state now. Colin Kaepernick took up a social cause that he believed in, which is speaking up for unjustly killed black people by police. The social cause. Those are not apples and oranges. What did you have from Jaws Beards?
So this is from ESPN. Jaws said, quote, "I truly believe Colin Kaepernick could be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I love his skill set. I think the sky's the limit."
He still has that skill set, by the way.
That was in 2013.
The skill set still exists, and he showed a lot of really good things since 2013. At this point, you have to... If you're telling me that he doesn't deserve a spot in the NFL up against Scott Tolzien and Tom Savage and Blake Bortles, you're not paying attention to football. You're being intellectually dishonest, or you're watching a different sport than I am. But I digress. If you can just go ahead and accept that for me, please, so we can move on to the rest of this conversation. If you can accept that, we can move on. So, if the plan with Deshaun Watson was to let him sit for a year like the Chiefs are doing with Patrick Mahomes, then the Texans should have gone and gotten, hell, Mike Glennon. The Bears are doing it. The Bears are paying Mike Glennon this year, so Mitchell Trubisky doesn't have to start right away. The Chiefs, oh boy, what a Freudian slip there. Chiefs, Patriots, they're interchangeable at this point. Dynastic powers, both of them. The Chiefs are running out Alex Smith, a guy they believe in. He's going to play this year. Patrick Mahomes is just going to sit. It's the plan. So, back to the Texans' point, larger on the larger scale. That can't be what Bill O'Brien wanted, because he could not, if he believed that Tom Savage would keep Deshaun Watson on the bench for a full NFL season, he is a nincompoop.
Good choice of word.
Thank you. It felt the most accurate. He's a nincompoop. If he thought that was going to happen, he's a nincompoop. If he wanted to start Deshaun Watson in the first week, if he wanted Deshaun Watson to get week one playing time, then he should have just started in week one. But he didn't. He let him start in the second half. He didn't let him prepare as a starting quarterback, which is different. He didn't let him get ready mentally in the way that you would for your rookie starting quarterback getting out there for his first game. He threw him to the wolves in the second half with an offense that wasn't ready for Deshaun Watson and a Deshaun Watson that wasn't ready for that offense. It's bizarre. It's such blatant foolishness. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Barry Odom did the same thing. He's going to fire his defensive coordinator after the second game. Why? What did you think was going to happen? What has he done in those 2 weeks that has changed your mind so fully? Either fire him in the offseason, or don't hire him, or whatever, and bring in another guy. Or stick him out because you think he's better than what these 2 weeks have shown. Barry Odom. Bill O'Brien, you messed this up the same way. The Colts are also doing something intellectually offensive here. They started Scott Tolzien yesterday. And the Los Angeles Rams put up 46 points. That's Jared Goff's team. Jared Goff's team put up 46. This week, they've already ruled out Andrew Luck with his shoulder. And Andrew Luck's shoulder has been as badly mismanaged as the Royals' bullpen this year. It's atrocious. And I don't know what the Colts think is happening. This is another case of malpractice. Mizzou, Houston, Indianapolis, malpractice. How do you let this happen? Chris Ballard's the GM in Indianapolis. He was the assistant. He was the second guy up, essentially. He was the second guy up the ladder in the Chiefs organization. Colts hired him in the offseason. Then Brett Veach moved from 3-2, and then John Dorsey got fired. Brett Veach got hired. If Chris Ballard hadn't taken the Colts job, he'd be the Chiefs GM right now. Pretty confident in that. Chris Ballard's the GM. Chuck Pagano's the head coach, the lame duck head coach, who won't be there next year because this team's going to collapse. What did they think was going to happen? How foolish were they? How clueless were they with Andrew Luck's shoulder? Had to be a lot of both. Because I think they believe there's some sort of contender in the AFC South. The AFC South has a lot of question marks. The Texans got trounced by the Jags in Houston yesterday. The Jags quarterback is Blake Bortles. Not terrifying. The Titans are the darling. They put up 16 points against the Raiders' sorry defense at home in Tennessee yesterday. Put the brakes on the Titans hype train, please.
But are the Raiders for real?
Get out of here. The AFC South is decrepit at this point. If you have a competent backup quarterback, that division's still open for as long as it takes for Andrew Luck to get back. But we have no idea what's going on with Luck's shoulder. The Colts have to have a better idea than we do, right? So you sign Colin Kaepernick. Gives you a chance in a few weeks for however long it takes for Andrew Luck to be out. And maybe you don't bring in Kaepernick for 1 week. With Andrew Luck's injury history, I think he would have made total sense as the backup the whole way through. Just make him your number two quarterback. Instead of trading for Jacoby Brissett and pretending that that's a solution, bring in Kaepernick, make him the backup. There's no question there. Whenever Andrew Luck comes back, it's going to be Andrew Luck's team again. But give yourself a bleeping chance while he's gone. Mizzou just fired their defensive coordinator after 2 weeks. The Texans replaced their starting quarterback after a half. The Colts are starting Scott Tolzien 2 weeks in a row. I don't know what these three leadership branches wanted. I don't know what they expected. But it's embarrassing. Truly embarrassing to watch. Because it's so blatantly mismanaged. Either start your rookie or stick with Tom Savage. Either get yourself a new defensive coordinator or wait it out because you believe in the guy you have. Bring in somebody competent to play quarterback while Andrew Luck is out. I think it's absurd. I don't know. Those are some things that stood out to me over the weekend. I was simply baffled by what Bill O'Brien was doing with Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson went 2 picks after Patrick Mahomes did, by the way, just for point of reference. Trubisky went, then Mahomes went, then Watson went. Like, look at what the Browns did with Deshaun Kizer. Kizer wasn't great. He had some good things. The Browns, I told you the Browns would give the Steelers a game. It was 21-18 in Cleveland. Steelers won, but I told you it'd be a good game. Deshaun Kizer he looked like a guy moving in the right direction. He looked like he could be a competent quarterback. Do you think he would have been a competent quarterback if Kevin Hogan would have started week one? And then at halftime, you throw Deshaun Kizer to the Wolves in Pittsburgh, against Pittsburgh at home? Of course not. They cut Brock Osweiler, said, Deshaun, you're the guy. Go do it. Go make it happen. You're the guy for this whole year. You're the guy. Go play. Get your experience. Make your mistakes. Learn your lessons. prepare as a starting NFL quarterback. Either do that or do what the Chiefs are doing, but pick one. I do think that we largely overrate the fragility of young quarterbacks. Because I think if Aaron Rodgers would have started week one as a rookie, I think he would still be Aaron Rodgers. If David Carr would have sat for 3 years, I think he still would have been David Carr. I don't think Matt Stafford would have gotten better by sitting longer. I don't think Derek Carr would have been better by sitting longer. I don't think that matters as much as we make it out to. I do think there is the benefit of guys who sit start off at a little bit of an easier place. And David Carr was kind of mauled by his offensive line. But I think the worst thing you can do to a rookie quarterback, the thing that actually can shake a guy, is to be yanking him around all the time. Saying, hey, go play the second half. And then Bill O'Brien now hasn't named a quarterback. Aren't they playing on Thursday night? Yeah, they're playing on Thursday night because they have five guys on their the Texans have five guys in the concussion protocol right now, including all three of their tight ends on their roster. So they're playing a game again on Thursday, and Bill O'Brien won't name a starting quarterback. Just pick a guy. Have a philosophy, pick a guy, and stick to your guns. It's ridiculous. What, Beards?
Talking about Aaron Rodgers, I think Aaron Rodgers is kind of a special case there because he was sitting behind Brett freaking Favre.
Sure.
And that's a little different case from all these other guys because they're pretty destitute quarterback positions. Outside of Kansas City, they're pretty destitute quarterback positions.
For sure.
They don't have anybody really to learn from that is exceptional in their own field.
Sure. I think that probably did some good things for Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers and Favre both talked about the fact that you might have to source me on this one also. By the way, if you missed the first hour of the show, go to search Almost Entirely Sports anywhere you get your podcasts. First hour, we talked about me falling asleep while I'm driving, how I ruined my family's Froyo empire, Danny Duffy's going to have surgery but he wouldn't admit it, Chiefs who are Mormons, and also Chiefs who are not Mormons, and we spent about 2 minutes at the end on college football. So go search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you find your podcasts. It'll be there. That first hour was something. Also, it's all on Facebook Live. What'd you find, Beards, about Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre? Did you find any of that, like how they weren't, it wasn't really a mentor, mentee?
I'm still looking. I'll find something.
Okay. But that's true. I'm saying that I don't really think, I think you're learning from your head coach and your quarterback coach more than you're learning from the guy ahead of you. That's an assumption. I don't really know that.
I think it's not necessarily a thing where you talk to each other and they had meetings once a week or whatever, but it's more Rodgers can kind of sit there and he can watch Tay on Favre and kind of learn that way, just kind of like osmosis taking it all in, instead of just, picking his brain.
I agree with that.
There's a Bleacher Report article called Gunslinger Excerpt, No Love Lost, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and the Birth of a Strained Relationship.
So I think there was some of that. So I read that whenever that was from him. I'm guessing that's the article I'm thinking about.
It is the excerpt from Jeff Perlman's upcoming release, which probably is already out by now because this is from 2016. Gunslinger, The Remarkable, Improbable, Iconic Life of Brett Favre.
So the excerpt is talking about how he and Rodgers had kind of a strained relationship. Fair? Is that a fair summation?
It's a big article, but I will, from the headline and from the byline, I'll say yes.
That's what I remembered happening already. So we'll assume that's the case. I would agree with that, with the idea of being behind a better quarterback is going to help younger guys. But I think Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to be good, regardless of how long he sits behind Tom Brady. I think we overrate that generally when we talk about quarterbacks. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Kaiser switched situations, I think they would still turn out to be pretty much the same quarterback they were going to be in their original situation. I think Mahomes has a bit of an advantage where he is currently. But eventually he's going to have to learn on the field, and Kaiser's going to start learning on the field sooner, so that there's different ways of doing it. But I largely think that Rodgers still would have been Rodgers. I think that Jamarcus Russell would have been Jamarcus Russell even if he was in Aaron Rodgers' situation. I don't think you can save a bust by putting him behind a good quarterback. I don't think you can turn a good quarterback into a bust by starting him too early. injuries, maybe. RG3 wasn't the same after his injuries. David Carr was definitely battered around a lot. But generally, as a rule of thumb, that's the theory I tend to subscribe to. The worst thing I think you can do for a rookie quarterback is to be throwing him in and out of the fold. You either make him the rookie quarterback, make your rookie quarterback the starting quarterback, and let him prepare as an NFL starter, and you just start that process right out of the gate, as the Browns did. Or you put him in Patrick Mahomes' situation and say, listen, you are here to learn, you're here to develop, and you are here to step in if Alex Smith gets hurt. But unless that happens, you're learning, you're practicing, you're repping. That's your situation. Mitch Trubisky seems to be in a similar place. We'll see if the Bears stick to their guns there. And if you go to a point where you say, all right, you know what, things aren't going how we wanted them to, we're going to go ahead and put in Mahomes or Trubisky or Watson. It's week six, and from here on out, that's your starter. That's also okay. I'm okay with that. But if you put in your rookie starter after a half, you make your rookie the starter after a half, and then the next day you haven't named your starting quarterback for a Thursday night game, you're doing him a disservice. Shoot your shot. Let your guys know what's going on. I think that's the worst thing you can do for a young quarterback. All right, you can tweet the show at JB Briscoe, where David tweeted in earlier that he said he'll ask his friend if he can check Andy Reid's underwear next Sunday. For explanation on that, go ahead and go listen to the first hour. Also, my mom commented on the Facebook Live feed where you can see this. She said, why do you keep looking up? Are you looking for divine guidance? I look up because sometimes I just look up whenever I'm thinking, and also there are two TVs in front of me. Up. There is no divine guidance on this show.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs are the Royals and I'm living in hell.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to the show. What was that liner, Beards? Can you play just the whatever I said again?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs are the Royals and I'm living in hell.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I don't remember saying that. Are you playing the music over again? Great. Fine. We had to really make it sound like a mistake.
Welcome back to the show.
Also, because this is just a fun song.
It is a fun song.
This was, fun fact, this was the first, you guys will win some crazy trivia bets to this later on, American Idiot was the first segment open of me ever doing live radio. It was a Sports Sunday, 8 a.m. Ready for some more crazy, here's some crazy trivia. So, it was 8 to 10 a.m. over on 810, I did Sports Sunday, and that was the first song. We went off at 10 p.m. and at like we went to the last commercial break at like 9:55, and it was like 9:58 reports started coming in that Yordano Ventura had died. That was my radio experience. So we went back on the air. It was me and Charlie, and we'd worked together a bunch and everything, but we hadn't like worked together in that like dynamic,
completely serious.
No. I mean, with me hosting anything.
That's true. Yeah.
I'd never hosted live radio before. I play a podcast.
And then I came in after that.
Yeah, because then Cody came in and took over.
Yeah, and then I replaced. Yeah.
So Charlie and I were on. I said, we got to go back on. We just got to go back. We're not going to talk about this nationally. This is a big story. We got to go back on. And he was like, okay. So I was like, just start calling other station hosts. And we went on. And he started. He called Nate and Steven and Cody and I think Lebo. We got a hold of. I can't remember. It doesn't really matter. But he started calling other station hosts, and we just started having them like tell their best Yordano Ventura stories. And we came back from break by just playing a little like 8:10 liner and no music. And he's like, "Hey, here's the news. This is what's going on." Now we're joined by Nate Bucati, and it was, I mean. I don't remember. This is also kind of a weird. I don't remember things extremely well. I don't have a great memory. I don't have. I could never help on Stump the Chumps over on the program. But I will definitely never forget a bunch of little details about that. About that first day of doing live radio. It was crazy. It was a very, very surreal experience. And the picture, then the pictures came out and everything. It was just, yeah, surreal. All right. What a weird sidetrack. Andy Reid talked today. Now go to Chiefs. A perfect... all right, hold on, Beards, really quick. Shane just came, like, screaming down the hallway and flung open the door and then slammed your door and then ran back down the hallway. Really quickly, what was that about?
Chiefs Kingdom at 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Why was he freaking out about it?
He was just asking me some questions because he hadn't done the setup for it yet.
Got it, okay. It was just like...
Continue with your story that I wasn't listening to.
That's fine. It was about your daughter Ventura dying and me being on the radio whenever that happened. Whenever the report started coming out. It wasn't a huge laugher. We're going to go to the Andy Reid sound now. That was a bizarre Sunday morning. Anyway. The Chiefs lost Eric Berry. God, what a terrible segue. I mean, there's no segue out of that. There's no segue. I tried to even just have you tell the Shane story. Tell us. Oh, no. What is that in your hand?
I don't know where this came from. I think it's part of the chair.
Describe it, please, for the audience. It's a
plastic curved thingamabob.
With, like, prongs, sort of.
It's like a starfish, if the starfish curved all its arms into one direction.
I gotta be honest, Beard, that's a pretty good description. But also, there's a big hole in the middle.
Yeah, normally starfishes don't have a giant hole in them.
It'd be like if a starfish ran into a hole punch.
I don't know where this came from. I just looked down at my foot, and I was like, oh, that's there. How'd that get there?
Let's check the bottom of my chair. Nope, I got nothing.
Okay, I'll look at it later.
Thanks for the segue. Let's talk about Andy Reid and the Chiefs, huh? So the Chiefs lost Eric Berry for the year. Sucks.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Beards. The Chiefs lost Eric Berry for the year, which is terrible. But the good news is that actually, all things considered, the Chiefs have some considerable depth at the safety position. And Andy Reid talked today about how they're going to manage the loss of Eric Berry.
You can't replace. You're not going to replace Eric Berry. That's not what you're going to do. Not the whole package of Eric Berry. He's one of the great ones in the game. The best safety right now playing football. So, but the guys that we have guys in that position that'll step in and fill that role, and that their teammates have a lot of confidence in.
Swords in the first guy.
Yeah, so it depend on package that we've got, and you know we've got Murray and Sorensen, and they both are experienced there, and just depends on what we're going to do. I mean. Sorensen plays all over the place, but those are the two guys. Yeah.
So the depth comes through here, and there are a few different kind of like knee-jerk reactions I saw on Twitter when Berry went down, as people were trying to say, oh, what do they do from here? And I think the way the Chiefs are handling this is the best way they could be handling it. So to recap, Andy Reid said there that Eric Murray and Daniel Sorensen will be replacing Berry, kind of depending on the defense they're running. Which makes sense. Daniel Sorensen, I would argue, is the more competent run defender, which is a place where you're going to really miss Eric Berry. And Eric Murray is a guy who they drafted as a corner, ended up moving the safety. The Chiefs seem to really be fond of Eric Murray and his speed and everything. So I'm guessing he's going to be in more like light packages, essentially, whenever you're expecting the pass. The first name that I'm sure jumped into most people's minds was Ron Parker. Because he is the second best safety in that secondary, and frankly, I still think he's the most underrated player on this defense, maybe on this entire team. But I am very glad to hear that the Chiefs are doing what they're doing with that safety position, because I do not want to see Ron Parker made any less of a consistent wild card. Here's a Pro Football Focus thing that came from Thursday night's game. Pro Football Focus pulled up Ron Parker's snaps by position. He spent 16 snaps at free safety, 6 snaps at strong safety, 2 snaps at corner, 7 snaps at slot corner, and 11 snaps at linebacker. That is an incredible, incredible diversity for a guy that you think of being kind of like a quick, rangy safety, right? But Parker spent some time at outside corner a few years ago. He was not good. He spent some time at slot corner. He saved the defense. And he's a tremendous kind of roaming free safety. But both of these, not both, both of these is underrating him. All of these positions, Ron Parker brings a lot of very valuable, very versatile things to the table. And I am hugely, hugely grateful for that, for Ron Parker's existence on this team. So as the Chiefs have to deal with this loss of Eric Berry from their secondary, an emotional leader and a guy who has really developed into the full package. I said this on Sunday. I might have said it here on Friday. I can't remember. There was a time when Eric Berry, I think, was overrated. When his ability to cover tight ends was actually a takeaway from his game, a negative in his game. That is simply wildly, wildly untrue anymore. He was a blanket over. He was a blanket over Rob Gronkowski on Thursday, which is an extremely difficult thing to do. But I think the Chiefs will be able to manage that loss relatively well with Eric Murray and Daniel Sorensen. They're going to do what the Chiefs did on Thursday night. Now, they're going to have one less do-everything guy. Eric Berry can do everything, and that's an extremely valuable guy to have back there. The Chiefs are paying him like that, too, by the way. They're paying him because they know how valuable he is. However, with that loss being admitted, the Chiefs were doing a ton of this personnel shifting on Thursday. We talked about it back on Thursday afternoon, what we expected. The Chiefs did a lot of that rush 3, drop 8 kind of stuff. But you don't do that with your base defense. You don't want to have Derek Johnson and Ramique Wilson and Dee Ford and Justin Houston dropping back along with all of your secondary guys. You're shifting it up. You're putting in Kevin Pierre-Louis because he's a guy who's more equipped to play kind of a linebacker safety hybrid. Ron Parker's ability to do that makes him super valuable. Daniel Sorensen plays more of that safety linebacker depth or that safety linebacker hybrid, sort of like a lighter, faster Kevin Pierre-Louis to really make it kind of oversimplified. That's the way you can think about it. Kevin Pierre-Louis is a linebacker who is comfortable playing linebacker safety hybrid. Daniel Sorensen is a safety who's comfortable playing safety linebacker hybrid. Eric Murray is going to be more of that pass defense, that true like safety defensive back hybrid. I hope that all makes sense. I know it's kind of nerdy, but it also comes through in a way where if you think about the hybrid forms, as you think about how Travis Kelce is not a tight end like Tony Gonzalez was. In fact, Tony Gonzalez got used extremely differently from the beginning of his career to the end of it as the NFL evolved. The NFL evolved to make tight ends more wide receiver types, sometimes from the outside, very often from the slot. You put a tight end out of that slot spot, he's not starting from a three-point stance. It's a very different use of the tight end than what you might have gotten 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. That's happening defensively also to keep up largely with those types of offensive hybrids. Your running backs can catch passes. Your tight ends are being used like receivers. So your safeties have to be able to hit like linebackers. Your linebackers have to be able to cover like safeties. So that's why I'm not as terribly concerned about the loss of Eric Berry as I'm sure a lot of people are, because I think the way they piece this together could work out okay in the long run. All right, we're going to take a break. That was a very, very cheesy, very football-y segment, which is actually how I want the show to go. I want to spend the first hour talking about ruining my father's Froyo empire, and the first hour talking about that, and the second hour talking about very, very football-y things. I like that. The juxtaposition of this show is fantastic. Beards, did you figure out what that piece of plastic was for?
No, but my chair hasn't fallen apart yet, so I think I'm okay.
I pointed at Beards because I wanted him to go to a break after he said that. And we're still here.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I talk about Patrick Mahomes on a daily basis.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com. Oh.
listen.
We're going to have to talk about Alex Smith more, aren't we? I'm happy to talk about Alex Smith in the, like, exciting ways. But there are some angry people on Twitter.
I'm trying to find the tweet from yesterday that I'm looking for.
I don't know how to talk about this any better than we have already. And I feel like people who are, like, listening to the last, whatever, 15 minutes of every podcast, who are hearing this now, might not need to hear it. But I went, like, so out of my way to explain to you what I was thinking about Mahomes and Alex Smith this offseason. I told you at the end, I coined the phrase quarterback moderate. I made that my thing. Well, I did say that I don't think Alex Smith is capable of leading a team to a Super Bowl. I didn't think that he would change his stripes. And I would love to be proven wrong on that. I also will not cop to the idea that that wasn't and isn't still a justifiable thing to say and to assume. Sample sizes, baby. Sample sizes. All I said throughout this entire offseason is that Alex Smith would continue to be Alex Smith. That's all. On Thursday night, he didn't look like Alex Smith. He looked like a different dude. If that dude comes out, if he's the quarterback of the Chiefs the rest of this year, that number 11, who didn't seem to be any sort of Alex Smith that we've seen before, or at least in a very long time, saw a little bit of him from that Colts playoff game, I will be very excited and very surprised. I don't think that's an absurd thing for me to say. Like, I'll stick to my guns as far as that, as far as I expected Alex Smith to be Alex Smith this year. I expected him to be Alex Smith Thursday night. I was wrong about Thursday night. We'll see about this year. I hope I'm wrong. I would love for Alex Smith to win a Super Bowl this season. I would be thrilled. I'm also very excited for what Patrick Mahomes is going to do with his team whenever he does take over. The question that I was asking, the question that I was asking throughout the preseason was, what would be better off for Patrick Mahomes, to play as a rookie or to sit as a rookie? I just wanted that question to be asked. We asked and we talked about it. And then whenever we talked to Matt Waldman a few weeks ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, whenever we talked to Matt Waldman a few weeks ago, he made me understand how Mahomes can do a lot of learning from the sidelines this year. I'm cool with that, man. That is fine with me. And I think that there's an argument to be made for why it's better for a rookie quarterback to start right out of the gate. We're going to see DeShone Kizer be the option in Cleveland that plays that way. But I'm cool with where the Chiefs are right now. I don't know. I don't fully understand how that makes me hate Alex Smith. I've seen him be Alex Smith a lot, so I've assumed that he would continue to be Alex Smith this year. I use assume in the past tense now, because he showed me something on Thursday that is very, very encouraging. We also saw some good stuff from the Chargers game last year and from the Falcons game. We saw some good stuff from Alex Smith. I'm not fully in. But I'd love to be. I'm not completely convinced that we're about to see 16 games of a new Alex Smith, but I hope we do. I also don't think I never thought he was terrible, even the Alex Smith that we knew already. I think this is the place where I'm the most confused. Or where I'm the most frustrated, I guess, with my mentions. I went through the every NFL team, and I told you what, Alex Smith was like 18, the 18th best quarterback.
I think we said 20. Hold on.
It was because we had like 16 that were definitely better, and then a couple that were like ties, and we just split those in half.
I have the liner clip if you want that.
Just play the clip part. Don't have to play the voice.
Okay,
part.
Let me get that isolated then.
And we can do it again if you want. Like Alex Smith looked great on Thursday. Carson Palmer looked terrible on Sunday. I might have had Carson Palmer over Alex Smith. We can reassess that. Beards, how soon are you going to have that figured out? Because I want to see where we're at then and see how much has changed now. Beards is giving me no answer. I'm guessing that means very, very soon. I would think that he's going to have this very soon. He usually moves quickly. Except for whenever we have 2 minutes left in the show. All right, hit me with it. What did we say? I just told you there are 17 starting quarterbacks in the NFL I'd rather have than Alex Smith.
Okay.
Four guys who could go either direction. You split that off. I just put Alex Smith at 20. Is that true? Did I just put Alex Smith at 20? Oh, God. My Twitter mentions are going to be a pain.
All right, so there's that. All right, let's do it again. Carson Palmer. You know what? Fine. I'll flip on Carson Palmer if I didn't already.
Matt Ryan. Yeah. Joe Flacco. Let's give Alex Smith every tie. Every tie goes to Alex Smith. Tyrod Taylor, Cam Newton, taking Cam Newton. Bears, no. I've never said Andy Dalton, by the way. I don't like Andy Dalton. Browns, no. Dak Prescott, we're taking him. Sorry. Broncos, no. Matt Stafford, we're taking him. Sorry, guys. Aaron Rodgers, Houston Texans, no. Colts, I would take Andrew Luck. Can we count Andrew Luck? Yeah, he's in the league. We'll take Andrew Luck. Jags, no. Chiefs, tie. Doesn't count. Rivers, we'll take Rivers. Jared Goff, if it's a tie, we'll give it to Alex Smith. Dolphins, if it's a tie, we'll give it to Smith. Vikings, if it's a tie, we'll give it to Alex Smith. Tom Brady, yeah, sorry, don't at me. Drew Brees, sure, yes. Eli Manning, I think I've said yes to Eli Manning. He's won Super Bowls. Is it a tie? You want to give a tie to Alex Smith?
We'll take a tie.
All right, I'm not
an Eli person.
I'm taking Eli Manning, sorry. The Jets, we'll take Alex Smith. Derek Carr, we'll take him. Carson Wentz, looks real good. We'll take it. We're taking Carson Wentz. You know what, fine. I'll give you Eli Manning back. We're taking Carson Wentz, damn it. Roethlisberger, yep. Niners, nope. Russell Wilson, yep. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. And Kirk Cousins. There are three more. I'm taking two of them. Okay, so now we have Alex Smith back at 16. Oh, man. Oh, man. Alex Smith might be halfway up now. Like, see how silly that is? It's so silly. And I'm excited. I'm glad that Alex Smith looks good. Just so many angry, angry people on Twitter. I'm optimistic about Alex Smith. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.